Amen, brothers. I call you holy, holy you'll be. Our scripture lesson will be found this morning in the book of 2 Samuel. If you have your Bibles or if you're online, you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 21. I'll be reading verses 15 to 22, reading from the New King James Version. Hear this word. When the Philistines were at war with Israel, David and his servants with him went down and fought against the Philistines, and David grew faint. Then Ibishbanab, who was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, who was bearing a new sword, thought he could kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, "You shall go out no more with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel." Now it happened afterward that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibbecai, the Hushathite, killed Saph, who was one of the sons of the giant. Again there was a war at Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jaaragim, the Bethlehemite, killed the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Verse 20. Yet again there was a war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature who had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, 24 in number, and he also was born to the giant. So when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, David's brother, killed him. These four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. May God bless the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word.
Amen. Giving all praises to God for his many blessings. Thankful for our own Reverend Dr. Janice Bryant and the deacons, the officers. Grateful for Deacon Steele this morning. Amen. Amen. Doing heavy lifting. And we're indeed grateful for him. We're grateful to have a warm place to worship.
Amen.
Amen. On this Sunday morning, as we stand on the threshold of a new day, we celebrate, honor the legacy of our own Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King on tomorrow. But we also have a new administration, the inauguration, the second term of Trump. And so today we want to share a word with you from this passage, from this story, 2 Samuel chapter 21, and simply talk about facing new giants. Facing new giants. Many of us are familiar with the story of David and Goliath, a biblical story that's found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. It has become somewhat of a metaphor for an underdog who is victorious over a much more powerful opponent. In this sports season, as we get closer to March Madness, no doubt they will declare that the 16th ranked team barely got it, 16th seeded team barely got into the big dance, and they got to face number one Duke. They got the number one players and four players that's going to the NBA. ESPN will surely declare that that is a David versus Goliath matchup. David is a picture of a young man in 1 Samuel 17, wasn't even old enough to go to battle. In fact, He was left home. His older brothers went off to battle. He was sent as a delivery driver. His job was just to take them sandwiches, check on them, see how they were doing, and come on back home. But David got out there and he heard Goliath's talking noise, talking about God, talking about Israel. And David had enough. You see, there comes a point when you have to stand up for the dignity and the honor of God. You just ain't gonna let everybody talk about God the way Goliath was talking about God. David tried to get others recruit, tried to convince his brothers to go, but they wouldn't go. He finally goes tell Saul, "Let me do it." Saul says, "You don't have experience in battle. You don't have experience in war." And David said, "But I do have experiences with bears. I do have experiences with lions. And if God deliver bears and lions into my hand, he will deliver this Philistine." And Saul thought about it and said, "Well, I ain't got no other volunteers, so I might as well dress him up, make him look like the king and put the king armor on him. Make at least Goliath think that he killed the king and put the king's sword in his hand." And David said, "I don't want any of that. Can't wear it. It's not suited for me. Well, don't fit. It's too heavy. It's too bulky. And never know, I might have to flee." And so David says, "I'll go down with just a sling and five smooth stones." David had five smooth stones that day because David knew that Goliath is a lie. So somebody needs to be reminded that the devil is a lie. See, Goliath has said that whoever wins the country will surrender to the other. If the Philistine champion win, then Israel was to surrender to the Philistines. If David wins against Goliath, then the Philistines were supposed to surrender. But the devil is a lie. We find out in 2 Samuel chapter 21 that the giants didn't die, the giants multiplied. That Goliath was not a man of his word. He lied, because the battle between the Israelites and the Philistines continued. We find in this text that now David is come of age. He's older, more mature. He's been weathered by the storms of life. His men is again at battle with the Philistines, and David needs to take a nap. He gets tired. He's out there and he's on his post. He's doing his job, but he gets sleepy because he's of age. He's tired. He gotta lay down every once in a while. And they tell David, "You're going to have to retire. You're going to have to move off the battlefield." Now you got to be mindful that that was a difficult decision for David that day, because David once left the battlefield and it started a whole lifetime of trouble for him. The one time when he was supposed to be on the battlefield and he wasn't there, and he got a lifetime of trouble for making that mistake. So you can imagine, in a culture where the king goes out to battle, his men telling him, "David, you can't go no more. You're going to have to sit down." And I thought about that in light of Martin Luther King. Right. Martin Luther King was a giant slayer himself. He slayed the giant of legal segregation through nonviolent activism and inspirational speeches. He played a pivotal role in the ending of legal segregation by the creation of the Civil Rights Acts of 1964 and the Voting Right of 1965. Martin Luther King slayed the giant. But like David and like King today, we find ourselves facing many giants. We find ourselves facing new giants. We find ourselves in a time where there are multiple giants. And I tell us, brothers and sisters, that in this time, we still have God on our side. Martin once wrote that America must face the fact that the church is still the most segregated morning when we stand and sing at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. Martin, and for 56 years, I know it's been 56 years since Martin passed, because my wife was born on April the 4th, 1968. So every day she been here, he ain't been here. So I keep up with that date religiously. Every year we set aside time to celebrate my wife's birthday and remember that Martin passed. But Martin said that with mindset that he was facing one giant. And when you think you're only facing Goliath, you're only facing one giant, Martin said at 11 o'clock is the most segregated hour. But today in 2025, we're facing many giants. And when you're facing many giants, yes, you understand that racial segregation in the church is still, it's not segregation, but still exists. But the church is still one of the most integrated times of the week. It's the only time you get grandma, mama, daddy, and grandbaby. All at one worship service, all at one time. No, all of us don't go together to school. All of us don't go together to work. But we all can come together generationally at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. Not only is it the most diverse generationally, genderly, the church is still mixed men and women. It's not all men, not all women, it's mixed. But when you're only facing one giant, you only see that one giant. But brothers and sisters, I come by today to tell us that we are facing new giants. Giants keep coming. And we have to learn how to face new challenges with new ways and new people. First, new giants require new warriors. David is being asked to step down. Standing around and he's need a nap, and he said, man, we can't, you know, we need somebody to stand guard for 12 hours and you're only good for about 8 now, David. So we need you to step down to the side. Time has caught up to you, David. It catches up to us all. We all have to step to the side. But he need new warriors for new giants. New warriors with new skills, new knowledge, new resumes, new records, new training. We need new warriors who are courageous and creative, calm but alert, relaxed but ready, humble but confident. We need new warriors who are fearless but not foolish, smart but not stubborn. We need new warriors who have technical skills, new warriors that can operate these new machines. I was at a musical retreat. Y'all won't believe this. I was at a musical retreat, and they were nice enough to let me do a meditation and serve me breakfast and lunch on the Saturday. I said, man, this is off the chain. Then they started talking about music, and I started drifting off, and mine started wandering. Then out of nowhere, one of them started talking about this magic music making machine. They literally were sitting there making music at the table. One of them had some notes and they put it in there, and then there was music on the screen. I was like, there is a music making machine. There's so many new machines. I was thinking the other day, I was like, well, why don't we just put, now I'm not going to do this. I'm just talking. I'm just talking about new machines to face new giants. I'm not implementing no policies right here. I'm just thinking. But I was like, what if not only do we have the bulletin in our hand, but we also have the bulletin in an app. And in the app, you can press and it can bring up the music or it can just bring up the message. Now that sounds fantastic, don't it? But they got machines for this stuff. They got these new machines that we need new operators who can operate these new machines, new warriors with new machines that they can operate. Now, even though David was dismissed from the battlefield, I need you to know that these new warriors still need advisors. They still need counselors. They still need trainers. They still need coaches. They still need historians, educators, therapists. These new warriors, they're going to need mental support. They're going to need physical support. They're going to need, yeah, some financial support. They're going to need air support. They're going to need ground support. They're going to need some old prayer warriors. Somebody that knows how to go down on their knees and call on the name of the Lord. When they come in wounded, beaten, and sad, somebody got to be there to hold their hand and tell them, you can do it. Get up. You can go one more time. Hang on. In there, giants will come, but giants do fall. New warriors. But they still need old prayer warriors. But not only do they need new warriors for this new, facing these new giants, they also need new weapons. I imagine David, I grew up with way too much TV, so I imagine David standing in the room with his servants, with his soldiers, warriors around him, and they done told David that he's retired from the battlefield, that he had to be more of an advisor, more of a counselor, more of a prayer warrior for them. And David understands. He's standing there and he's thinking up a good idea. He wanna go out with a giant idea. And so David said, well, I think what you fellas ought to do now is put up all that old shields and armor and sword. What y'all ought to do is get y'all a sling and some stones. Yeah, yeah. Arm everybody with a slingshot and a stone. I'm telling you, it will work. It worked for me when we fought against Goliath. And it'll work today. And you know, it was some young warrior in the back. He mumbling under his breath. I ain't fighting no giant. I'll kill him, but I ain't fighting with no sling and no stone. I got my grandpa's sword here. I'm looking for a giant to go out with my grandpa. I ain't going out there. And they're like, calm down, calm down. But one of the wiser generals out of there says, we want to thank you, King David, for reminding us of your courage on that day, reminding us of how you went for the nation, stood against Goliath. But David, I want you to remember a couple of things. Well, first thing you need to remember that you had to go there by yourself because nobody else was willing. You're surrounded by men and soldiers and warriors that are now willing. You went by yourself with a sling and a stone because nobody else wanted to go. But now we have a room full of men, room full of soldiers, room full of warriors who are willing to go. Now to that sling and stone idea you got. No, but the point is this. The enemy underestimated you, and therefore you was able to surprise him. because Goliath didn't expect anything from you, when you came out there, you got close enough so that the stone could be effective. And King David, you taught me this lesson, that you can't fool a giant twice. You can't sneak up on a giant twice. You can't surprise a giant twice. So now we can't surprise him. And he sees us coming, and now that you're old, now that you're king, they don't underestimate you. They now overestimate you. They think you more of a threat than you really are. And I'm afraid to say on this morning that I think that the protest and boycott is going the same way of the sling and the shot and the stone. Hear me out. Hear me out. I know I'm not pulling the plug on it, and I'm not signing the death certificate on peaceful protest and boycott, but I think it's going the way of the slingshot and the stone. The reason why, Martin tells us. Martin tells us that it was to draw attention. See, Martin saw America as basically Christian, and it just was not aware of the sin that segregation was causing on this country. So he wanted to dramatize. He wanted to make these events bigger so the national news would come out, so the rest of the country, the rest of the world, would look at it and everybody be shilling shame. That he wanted to bring attention to the problem. The reason why I don't think it's going to work today is because we got too much attention. We got our attention on everything. I mean, when Martin, there were about three or four stations, and then it went off at noon with the national anthem at midnight. I remember at midnight the TV cut off. You could be sleepy if you wanted to. No more TV. Now we got 24-hour, 7 days a week news channels. We got 4 or 5 fake news channels. We got comedy news channels. 24 hours, 7 days a week. We got too much attention. We know everything. We know where the chairs have been set up in Washington, D.C. We know where the firemen are eating at in California. We know what's happening in Ukraine. We know what's happening in Israel. We have so much attention that we can't pay attention. Our attention span is short. We have attention deficit disorders. We got too much attention. Made me think about the war with Gideon and the Midianites. That was a war when the Israelites had too much attention. And what God did was strengthen their numbers. He had 32,000. He shrunk it down to 300. Told them to put up their swords, pick up lamps and jars and smash the lamps, show the lights and scream like your life depended on it. And it worked. 300 men, soldiers with lights, ran off over 100,000 Mennonites. But the reason that it worked because in those days, each battalion would have one light. So you can count the battalions by counting the lights. So if you look out there and you see three lights, you say, well, he only got about 3,000 people. He ain't got nobody out there. He got three lights. I can count 1, 2, 3. Yeah. But while God putting 300 lights, then have them out there at night surrounding the Mennonites, when they broke the lamps and those lights shine, they look out there and say, whoa, they got 300 battalions out there. And they became afraid. That's when God knew that the children of Israel had the enemy's attention. And he could use that for them to overestimate. Now, I don't know what God's new weapon's going to be honest with you. But I do see him forging it. I do see him forging it from the faith of our former years. I do see him forging it out of the hope that the present has taught us. He still see it forging this weapon out of a future that is inclusive for us all. He's still forging a new weapon. If God can give David a sling and a stone to defeat Goliath, if God can give King a speech and a crowd to defeat legal segregation, surely God can form a new weapon. And it may be already beginning. Because recently when we looked at the Black Lives Matter movement, you remember that came out at 9 o'clock one day. By 11 o'clock, all Lives Matters came out. I thought they were twins. It sounded like they were born on the same day. It was like Black Lives Matter, all Lives Matter. I was like, whoa. The enemies usually ain't that quick. The enemy usually get a good 2 weeks out of a good new black slogan before you hear a counter. It was like AM, PM. It came out quick. I'm like, wow. And then I knew it was kind of the last straw was when that actor called for a protest because she didn't get a contract that she wanted. She thought that, she should have got a bigger contract. And I was like, now, we ain't protesting because you didn't get a raise on your job. Now, I don't know where the line is, but I know that's on the other side of it. There's no way. But I do see the elements changing. But I do see in God's arsenal that God has always been able to shape and fashion a weapon that his people can use. And I think it's likened unto that Gideon one. When we show the light, when we be the light, when we be the light for truth, when we be the light for justice, when we be the light of Christ, when we represent Christ and we are the light of the world, when we let our light so shine, I think it's going to be like Gideon. The enemy is going to get scared and the enemy is going to flee. So we need new warriors with new skills. We need new machines to build new weapons. But brothers and sisters, I am hopeful. I'm hopeful because I have the assurance of David. David, the first giant slayer. He tells us the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat of my flesh. Can I add right here, giants? They stumble and fail. The host should encamp against me. My heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Giants do fall. But I have the assurance of Dr. King. Dr. King tells a story of a prayer meeting at midnight. You can look it up. I'm just retelling it. I'm not reciting it. I'm retelling it. Because he talks about how one night at midnight, he gets up and goes and makes a pot of coffee. Now, I know one or two things about a preacher. but I know everything about coffee. There is no knowledge regarding coffee I don't have. I know where it is, and I know how to make it. What else do you need to know? It's all you need to know about coffee. Where it is, how to make it. Put water in this section, put the grounds in this section, press the magic coffee making machine. That's all you need to know about coffee. But the preacher and coffee at midnight, the earth is about to shake. The room is about to quake. When the preacher got at midnight, he said, over this cup of coffee at midnight, he began to pray. He said, Lord, I'm scared. I'm tired. People have been threatening his life. He said, I'm losing my nerve. I done lost my confidence. And if I quit now, I don't know what it'll do to the people. Lord, if you can give me a way to escape, slip out in the darkness. I don't know exactly what he said, but Lord, he was tired that night. He was sick of the threats on his life. He just wanted to minister. Didn't want to lead no civil rights movement and tried to get the Lord to get him out of it. But he said that night as he prayed, he heard the voice of the Lord said, Martin, still fight on. Fight for justice. Fight for righteousness. And then he promised never to leave me. Martin was 27 years old when he had that prayer meeting at midnight over that cup of coffee. And so for the next 12 years, which was probably the most violent in his life, his home was being bombed. He got shot. He had major surgery. But for the next 12 years, Martin was able to face it all knowing that he had a promise. He had a promise from the Lord that the Lord promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. No, never alone. And I come by today to tell Ebenezer that promise is still good. That promise is generational. That promise didn't expire in the 60s. That promise didn't expire in the 90s. That promise is still true in 2025. He promised never to leave us. No, never, never to leave. So we can stand and face the new giants of today. We can stand with the confidence knowing that giants do come and giants do fall. If we have the Lord, he was on David's side, he was on Martin's side, if he's on our side, we can face new giants. May God bless you, may God keep you this morning. At this time, we extend the invitation. We ask you to come as the deacons and the ushers and the greeters. If you need somebody to walk with you, just hold up your hand and somebody will walk with you. We invite you to come this morning. Thank you. ours to extend. It was yours to accept or reject. We pray the Lord have mercy on your souls. Amen. Again, we want to just make a couple of closing announcements. The church office will be closed tomorrow. Clap, everybody clap. We're closing for Martin Luther King Day. Amen. If nothing else, let us stand and be dismissed.